Susan and I wanted to share with you just a few images and some reflections that in no way is going to capture all 4 months, but our intention is to simply give you a taste, a sense of what it has meant for us to be away on a sabbatical pilgrimage, a journey of faith, trusting and praying that each day we are held in the circle of God's light and love, remembering that throughout the ages, God's prophets and sages, God's precious one, the Christ, and those who followed him took time, set apart time to be and to rest in the presence of God, away from the distractions of everyday life. Most of those folks retreated to the desert. And if you've been paying attention over the years of your faith journey, you'll recognize that when the word desert shows up in the text, or the word wilderness, you can almost be guaranteed that something mysterious and profound is going to happen between whoever is there and their encounter with God. So the word sabbatical takes its roots from the notion of Sabbath, from rest, from intentional time apart. So we began Holland, the Netherlands. Holland is the south part of the Netherlands. Staying with dear friends in Amstelveen. And we happened to land on the day of family celebrations, birthdays for their youngest, Sietske. This is Sietske, and I've known Sietske for over 30 years now. We met while we were both students in theology in South America, if you can imagine. Her husband is Fred, and his birthday and Job's birthday, their son, happened to be on the day we were there, and we were joined by Fred's parents and his sister, and it was like the first time in 30 years that we'd had the privilege to see and be with their family. That's how we started our first day away.
So sabbatical is about time for reconnection, reconnecting with friends, with family. It's also moments when you just have new discoveries. So Sietske's sister lives out in Leiden, which is an old city not too far from Amsterdam. And Sietske said, well, while you're meeting family, do you want to come and meet my sister? So we went out to Leiden, and her sister took us on walking around the downtown of Leiden. And as we're walking, she goes, oh, this is the Pilgrim Church. And it didn't really dawn on me at first until I walked up and saw the sign that says, in memory of John Robertson, the Pilgrims of the Mayflower. And I go, oh, this is the Pilgrim Church. And so the pilgrims that we know associated with the Mayflower were from England, but escaping persecution in England, they went to the Netherlands and were located in Leiden for a long period before they actually got on the Mayflower and came over. So it is no longer dedicated as a church. It is used as a concert hall, a gathering venue, but still very much remembered as the Pilgrim Church. And so, that's one of the things about sabbaticals, is these little discoveries that just bring new insight. So next year is the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower, and Leiden and Boston and Plymouth are all working together to have a celebration of that. So now that I've been there, that we've seen that, I want to sort of track that, and I'm sure you're going to hear more about that.
One of the things that we were able to do, and this was really setting time apart, was to travel to the Dutch island of Texel. For those of you who have a sense of geography, there is a chain of small islands that dot across the North Sea, shared between the Netherlands and Germany. And this is the one that is most easily accessible by ferry from the small city of Den Helder in the north of the Netherlands. So we spent some time just simply enjoying the North Sea and being away. This was a weekend retreat that Sietske and Fred arranged for us.
So new discoveries and rest and reconnection. And the majority of our time in Europe was spent in Spain. And these are some pictures from Avila. And you will hear lots more of this. Avila is where Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, two very great mystics that have been significant to us, were located here. So we very much wanted to go and see that. Avila is interesting. You see the walls there. It's one of the few cities that still have the whole walled city, ancient walled city, and the new city is around. You can walk part of the wall. And beside it, the music you see is an original 15th century manuscript of the Psalms. And I think, you know, when in Avila, the church was built 1,000 years ago. And there's just something about standing there and realizing that the story we live here is an ancient story. And this is the cathedral in Avila. And there's something so profound about realizing that the scriptures we read, the stories we tell, the faith we share has been shared over all those centuries. And I think for me, I want to keep finding ways to share the good news, the wonder of this gospel that has inspired people for so long. How do we keep inspiring others to see the gift in the gospel? And that was one of the things that came to me. And you'll hear many more stories. This was a very significant place for me.
Avila is a small city located north and west of Madrid. And we did all our traveling in Spain by train. It's amazing. You can book your train tickets from your iPhone. And you get there, and there's your seat, and there's your coach, and away you go. We took the train then from Avila all the way to the southern part of Spain, to the great city of Sevilla. And this began a significant added part to our spiritual path and pilgrimage in Spain. So I took this photo. All the photos you see are ours. The arches, the architecture is Moorish, southern part of Spain. For the first 1400 years, essentially, after the death of Christ in the new common era, was governed by the caliphates with roots in the Middle East and North Africa. So the history here is very special. So we wanted to dip into Sevilla mainly because it's a grand city. It's a grand city of symbols that are still living of the great colonial periods of Spain. This being the cathedral in Spain, and alongside that is the tomb of Christopher Columbus. And we were in the palace, the previous slide, is the room where we were able to stand in the same spot where Christopher Columbus received permission from Queen Isabella to go to the New World, for better, for worse. But it's you can't mistake the colonial energy and the history of Sevilla. It was very mixed. It touched us in different ways, but it's very, very prevalent in Seville. Then our next stop was
Cordoba. is fascinating. It used to be the capital of Spain, especially the capital of Andalusia, the southern part of Spain, that the Moors, the Muslims from northern Africa, ruled for a long time. And in Cordoba, we were on a retreat with a Spanish scholar and Anglican priest. He's both, and his partner were running the retreat, and there were about 20 others, mostly from the UK, as part of this retreat. And the theme was about how do we work together as in Jewish-Christian-Muslim relations, and how do we understand that with some roots in what happened in Spain in 7th, 8th century. So it was quite fascinating. We did reflections, we did on field trips, and the picture you're seeing here is the mosque cathedral in Cordoba. And you see the red and white arches. This is the mosque. So the mosque was built here. It kept being added onto. At its largest, it could hold 40,000 men praying. No one knows if there ever was that many. But it could hold that. And then when the Christians came along and took back Spain, they wanted to put a cathedral on the spot because it was known to be this holy spot. But they couldn't afford to take this massive mosque down, thank goodness. And so they built the cathedral right in the center of it. So it is this sort of strange, and you'll see in the next picture some of the Muslim mosaic, and that's still there. This is where the imams sat to call for prayer, and you have these wonderful arches and that, and then right in the center you have this very strange cathedral that's sort of squashed in. I don't know where people sat, but there was an altar and there was a choir and organ, and so you have this real mix going on. And so we spent the week reflecting, hearing stories of what it meant for different cultures, different faiths to work together.
So the Jewish, Sephardic Jews, the Mozarabic Christians, and the Muslims all lived together during this period, and all were Arab-speaking. So the Jews were Arab-speaking, the Christians were Arab-speaking. So it says something about the nature of that time. This is the ceiling that you're looking at, which would have been above where the imam would have been giving his message in the 8th century. It was rich week. Alicante, Spanish city on the Mediterranean coast, was our week of rest after an intense week of retreat and learning. We stayed in a small, very compact little apartment at the foot of the castle from where this picture is taken up on top of the mountain looking over the Mediterranean. Very, very good to spend about 6 nights, 7 days just being.
And we ended our time in Spain in Barcelona. We thought, well, we got to do Barcelona. Neither of us sort of had it high on our list, but we thought, okay, we've got to do it. We ended up just absolutely loving Barcelona. These are pictures taken in La Sagrada Familia, the Holy Family Cathedral. And it is still under construction. They say in 7 years it will be finished. It was started in the late 1800s. And that's nothing for a cathedral. Many cathedrals took 200 or 300 years to build, so this is actually a fast timeline. They're building it like Lego now. They can put pieces together and move them in with cranes. You know, if you imagine the cathedrals that were built without cranes. But this is, Gaudi was the architect of this. And he was so inspired by nature. So the picture on the right-hand side, you see the pillars look like trees going up with branches. And then the ceiling is done, so it looks like light coming through the leaves. And then he loved color, but he didn't want to be painting things. So the windows are created, so when the sun comes in, all the color comes just from the sun coming through the windows. So it is just an amazing piece of architecture, and we'll share more about that. But I have to say, you know, walking in, there's just such inspiration and holiness in this cathedral. because of it being inspired by the world around us. And so we'll share more as we go, but that's where we ended, and we flew home from Barcelona.
And then after a few days, I went away for a 7-day silent retreat following the Ignatian Rule at King's Fold Retreat Center. And these photos are just from the property there, looking down the Ghost River Valley, and the Indian paintbrush was just blooming that week. Beautiful, tranquil place to be in silence.
And after David got back from the silent retreat, I headed off to the World Jamboree. And this is the opening ceremony. 45,000 of us gathered from almost every country around the world. It's the strangest thing because, you know, I go and work as the chaplain for the Canadian contingent, deal with all sorts of, you know, issues of kids needing support and help, you know, adults needing support and help. But as David said when I arrived home, that my face just looks so relaxed and so much softer, and we're sort of trying to figure that out. But there is just something about the Jamboree that moves me so deeply, and I think it is partly because you see all the cultures of the world working together, having fun together. The kids are trading shirts and knickers, the scarves and badges, and playing games together. And you have a group of Saudi Arabians with their drums and dancing and singing, and then you have a group of Mexicans and group of indigenous people, and it's just constantly all of this being shared in this little microcosm of the world. And it really does make my heart sing to be there and to see. For me, it's a vision of what could be in this world. And it was a huge site, 57 square miles. I walked at least 15 kilometers a day, and that was even with buses that took us around the site to certain parts. It was a huge site, but it was just such an amazing, it's my third World Jamboree, and just such an amazing experience to see how this comes together. We were the second largest city in West Virginia for those 12 days that we were there.
We finished our sabbatical with an intensive advanced course in developmental psychology, looking at attachment theory as the context for therapy. So this was very much a professional week of learning for us. You might guess where this was. If you thought that looks a lot like Vancouver Island, you would be right. This is a little Qualicum Falls, just outside Parksville where we were, and the big trees. We conclude with this slide as sort of an echo back to Sagrada Familia. When we were in the Basilica in Barcelona, Susan said, "This reminds me so much of Cathedral Grove on Vancouver Island." So in the remaining day or two before we came back to Alberta, we paid attention to Cathedral Grove and gave thanks for the wonder of these giants, who are some of them 800 to 1,000 years old. Echo back to the day when the basilica in Avila was just being built. And these trees were just starting their life then. That's amazing to me. So this was just a small sampling of some of the images and things that we witnessed as we journeyed on our sabbatical pilgrimage. Our plan is to compile a few more images, and we'll offer a longer program sometime in the fall, to which you'll all be invited, and we'll offer some deeper reflections on what we learned.